You're listening to the Filthy Fantasy Football Show.
To another exciting episode of the Filthy Fantasy Football Show, a safe space for all you foul-mouthed fantasy players out there. As always, it is your boys, King Josh, Josh the King, Big Rome, Fantasy Fish.
What the fuck is going on, guys?
How's it going? I like our intro song. Shit gets me pumped, man.
Yeah,
it's every exciting.
Time makes my dick hard.
It's good to be back. You know what's funny? Last week, because we did our first episode in quite some time, we received a few messages from you beautiful people out there welcoming us back, and it was very touching. And then I touched myself. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was great to hear. I actually got a really nice message from a gentleman who said that we're still his favorite podcast to listen to, and he likes to listen to us on his way to work. So
Hell yeah. And the thing
fucking
is
awesome.
The other people just haven't listened yet. We'll be their favorite too,
so listen. Which is up. Why you need tell your friends. Fuck. Don't keep us your secret. If you like this content, you like this hot fire, you like this ear honey, you got to tell your friends. And then give us money on Cash App. Venmo me money.
Some much better places to give us money on.
I'll start an OnlyFans. I'll show my tits. I have no shame.
There you go.
I'm in. I'm fucking in for that.
Yeah, if they want some tits, we got some sweet tits on this show.
We can smush our tits together all day.
Yeah.
I can.
Sort of, you skinny fat guy.
Yeah.
Unlike us. Big
fat I do have
guys.
The smallest nipples, though, so I might get a small nipple fetish. Then.
Hey, yeah, if you guys like dime-sized nipples, we got fish. Yeah. For tonight's episode, we got the NFL draft right around the corner. So we're going to be talking draft prospects. We're talking quarterbacks tonight. Tomorrow we're planning on talking running backs. And then hopefully we don't get busy or lazy because, the NFL draft is in like 10 days, I think. So, you know what? A little bit of news. Jalen Hurts got paid.
So stupid.
Why do you hate it? I mean, I said, hey, man, good for you. Get your money.
Look, and that's cool. I agree. Good. I'm glad he made his bag. I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, man. I just don't think he's that good. If you want a guy that's going to go win you a game, are you really going to say Jalen Hurts is that guy? Are you going to pay him? What's the guaranteed on it?
It's, you know, he signed a 5-year, $255 million extension with $179.3 million guaranteed and a no trade clause.
Oh, my God. Okay. I mean, if he's your guy, go for it. I like Jalen. I really do. What he did in the national championship game, right, when Tua took over, he's a good kid. I couldn't get behind it. If you can't get behind, I tell you what, let's just say this. Lamar Jackson went to the wrong organization. He should have gone to the Eagles.
You know what's funny? Talk about an interesting career trajectory, because he lost his job to Tua. And then he transferred to a different school. And then there were rumors that he was going to lose his starting job to Gardner Minshew. And now look at him. Now he's the highest paid player in the league.
I mean, I kind of like it. Not that I think that he's worth it, but here's the thing. Being an NFL quarterback is like the only job that can keep up with inflation, right? Every year a new quarterback gets a deal, they are the highest paid quarterback. For Philadelphia, they're going to be good. They're not going to be able to draft the top quarterback for some time. So why not extend this guy now, pay what it costs, and then see where it goes. They're going to be too good to get a quarterback, and quarterbacks aren't going to get any cheaper.
You know what? That's actually a really good point.
I feel you on that. I can get behind that.
Especially because now, seeing the contract that Jalen Hurts got, Burrow, Herbert, and then assuming Lamar Jackson gets a deal too, we're talking a lot. And as a Charger fan, I'm like, goddamn, Justin Herbert's going to sign a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. He sure is.
And goddamn, Joe Burrow's going to get a lot of money.
Yes, he is.
Which, because you're right. You know, every quarterback deal leapfrogs the next. You know, Aaron Rodgers had his deal. Then I think Josh Allen then got his, which leapfrogged Aaron Rodgers, which then Patrick Mahomes got his, which leapfrogged Josh Allen. And now then Deshaun Watson got his deal, which is still the dumbest fucking, like,
stupid. It wrecked the league.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know what, though? The 170 guaranteed for Jalen Hurts. If you're Lamar Jackson, it's kind of like, hey, man, maybe Baltimore wasn't that far off of your guarantees then. Because it was like 130 or 150. I think it was 150, 140. I don't remember. I mean, it sucks. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was around that. And so it's like, okay, so but now actually there was a report now that Baltimore is trying to get a deal to Lamar for $200 guaranteed $1 million. So
okay. How long? Well,
you know what? Hopefully that'll work for him. Did Jalen win MVP? No, right?
No,
no.
MVP was Mahomes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so.
I think it was Patrick Mahomes who won it.
Yeah,
we should really do more research before the show.
Nah,
you
guys accepted.
I don't care about the fucking MVP that much.
Nobody gives a shit about that. Like, just
you're here for fantasy football.
Good for you.
Fuck. And then actually, here's another interesting bit of news. Not fantasy relevant, but Garrett Wilson, was he Offensive Rookie of the Year? He won it, right?
Did he?
I don't know.
I know either he was he was in the conversation.
Yeah. But either way, Garrett Wilson wore number 17 last year. He said he's going to wear number 17 this year. But then next year, back to number 5.
Mm. Who has number 5 now? Was it Flacco?
Flacco.
Is that who?
No, Flacco was 19.
Who wore 5?
I don't know. Probably their kicker or some shit. Someone dumb.
Makes sense.
But remember we talked about sometimes pro players, they get their college number back and they find that fire, baby. Like they're getting pumped.
I could see it.
That number's more important than you think.
It's kind of weird.
Comfortable out there, you know?
Yeah, like it's weird how like the mental game plays so much of a factor.
I coached for a long time, man. Look good, feel good, play good. It's a real fucking thing.
Yeah,
and if you don't feel, if you look good, you know you look good in 5, man, you're going to play good. It's just the way it is.
I saw that Zeke wants to wear number 15 again.
I like him in 21, though. He made 21 real fucking sexy.
He looked good in 21.
He did. He did. But if he breaks out 15, if he ever gets signed again, I think that's where we're at, unfortunately.
Oh, Fish, you're not drinking Bud Light.
I never drink Bud Light, man. I drink Michelob Ultra.
I'm kidding.
Or Miller High Life. Oh, sometimes I drink Busch Light.
It's because they had that Dylan Mulvaney guy got his own like celebratory cans. I thought you'd be out there rocking the Bud Light in celebration.
No, I'm too cheap to celebrate anything. I just drink whatever's there.
You know,
I live in a tiny town, so I have to, you know, what the gas station's got with. It's my choices. There's like 12 choices.
I do appreciate a good Michelob Ultra, though.
Yeah, it's a rice beer. I'm trying to not get fat from it, you know? So.
No, we need you to get fat. We need them perky titties for the OnlyFans.
Join the club, brother.
Yeah, let's get them titties pumped up.
Oh, I gained like 20 pounds and it made my legs hurt. And I was like, yeah, this sucks.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. You get heavy, your gut gets big, and it drags you down. So you go from being 6 feet tall to like 5'9", because your belly just weighed you down.
Oh man!
Little known fact about Rome: he stands at 6'2", but he would have been 6'6".
Correct. 100% accurate.
You know what's funny today? Today was like a nice sunny day. I'm fully hydrated. You know when you piss clear and you're like, I feel good. You're like, it feels good in your skin. I just feel good, feel strong. Although I'm also very tired because I did yard work and, like, you know, I'm old, fat, and out of shape. I went to the gym, did a little sauna time.
Oh, there you go.
I bought some stuff to make tacos.
Mm.
Fucking,
You sounds like you had a good day. I had pizza and one Survivor. There it is. That's what I did today.
I actually just started. I actually just started watching Survivor, and my strategy would be to not participate in anything. I would just be at the camp the whole time. They're like, "You don't do anything, man." Like, I don't know why.
Just taking fucking shots of whiskey the whole time. Yeah, but leave me alone, dude.
And they'd be like, "We can't vote Josh off because for some reason everybody likes him." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm funny."
That's a solid fucking strategy.
I'm like, why would you go participate in the games? Just stay at the camp. I'd be like, "All right, guys, I'm gonna watch the camp." And then I would just eat all the food and drink the water.
You're doing it wrong. What you gotta do is you gotta bring some Coke or some Speed or something, right? And just start slinging it to people. And then they'll just all get addicted and they can't vote you off because they're gonna need more. Mm. And you're the only supply. So you just
Where did you bring that in from? Is that in your asshole? Is that how you got it in? Smuggled it?
There's ways. Where there's a will, there's a way. People can get into jails. They can get it into the fucking Survivor.
You know what? You're fucking correct.
I would make every contestant nervous because I would refer to everybody as a beautiful chocolate man. That beautiful chocolate man. Like, he's not even black. I'm like, he's a beautiful chocolate man. You know, like
white. Have you tasted like, that guy lately?
Chocolate.
Yeah. Chocolate.
Dark chocolate. Like they'd be like. They're like, Josh, we're not opposed to gay people on the show, but like you can't try to fuck everybody on the show. Men and women.
The hell like, I can't.
Yeah. Like I don't
bit.
Or like I'd run around like just bashing people with rocks. I'm like, it's called Survivor. Fucking killing everybody. fucking everybody's dead. They're like, this isn't the show. Although it's funny, I've just watched the most recent season, which was season 41. And I was like, I had no idea this show's been on this goddamn long.
It's been a long time, man.
20 fucking years?
It's been a long fucking time, dude.
This is our fourth season of our podcast. Yeah, I could not, like, I mean, goddamn. Yeah.
We're only 37 years away from Survivor. We'll see if we live that long.
Technically, though, they do two a year.
Yeah. That's true.
So it's
but
it's
20 years.
Still so. 20 fucking years of being on TV.
Yeah. I knew that only because when Rome was 10, he was like, I gotta watch Survivor, dude. Hey, I was like, dude, but we can play Super Nintendo instead. He's like, nope. All right.
No. Survivor time, baby.
Although, oh, hey, little also tidbit for the listeners. Season 6 of Better Call Saul comes to Netflix tomorrow.
Do you that, not, that's still a thing?
It's the final season.
Oh,
and it's so good. I actually think I like Better Call Saul more than Breaking Bad.
Here's a hot take. I don't like Breaking Bad that much.
Well, I don't like you that
like,
much.
Everybody is like, it's the greatest fucking show ever. Let me suck its dick. Fuck that show. It was all right. It was all right.
It was a good show.
I didn't say it wasn't good. I said it was all right. I would enjoy it.
That's not good, though.
A bit.
All right is not good.
Fine, it was good. It was good. Did it make my top five? No.
Yeah.
Walter White and his
Game of Thrones is in my top five until the final season.
You know what's funny is I never watched Game of Thrones. I don't watch a lot of TV, right? And my friend was like, you got to watch Game of Thrones. You got to watch the Battle of the Bastards episode. I think that's what it was.
That was a cool episode.
That's a.
And then I went there and I watched it. And they were all shooting at the guy with the arrows at the same time. And they all fucking missed. And I was like, done, dude. This shit's fucking retarded.
It's called plot armor. All right? You need it.
I just appreciate all the wieners that I got to see in Game of Thrones.
You know, there were.
There were some nice boobs. And there were some great wieners. Mm-hmm. A lot of good butts. Because who doesn't like butts, boobs, and wieners? Everyone does.
What everybody wants in all of life.
Speaking of boobs, butts, and wieners, you ready to talk about some rookie quarterbacks?
Oh, yeah.
I'm fucking ready.
Well, let's start off with Rome's number one quarterback.
All right.
And it's not the one you guys think it is. Will Levis.
It certainly is it.
Kentucky quarterback. Which, actually, I agree with you, Rome. Will Levis is actually my favorite quarterback coming into this year's draft as well. Because, like, I think... You know what? Let's phrase it like this. Realistically, where do you think he gets drafted? And yeah, where do you think he gets drafted? So like me, or where would be the ideal landing spot be for him? So me personally, Will Levis, I've talked, Rome, you and I talked about this off the show, but I would love to see him in like Minnesota. Cause then, you know, you can sit for 2 years or so behind Kirk Cousins. And then when Kirk Cousins either retires or gets cut, traded, whatever, you now throw to TJ Hockenson, Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne, and then whoever else they pick up over the time frame. And I think
right.
Will Levis to me has, I think he has one of the best skill sets I've seen, even with last year's. I did not like last year's quarterback class either, but I think he's just raw. That's the thing. Will Levis is just raw. And if he can learn, sit and be patient and learn, get that football IQ higher, because I know he's had some issues with like pocket awareness and things like took a lot of sacks. But if he can just sit and get up to speed, I think he could be something great. Like, God, that throwing motion, like he just effortlessly throws it 60 yards. It's a thing of beauty to see. So, all right, Rome, take the floor.
Well, I agree with you with everything that Will, that you said about Will. I think that the throwing motion is the first thing that I saw, and it popped out the screen because I was like, holy shit, that looks like Dan Marino. Like, there's no windup. It just shoots straight from the fucking pocket. It's not a huge motion. He's not going to take a lot of sacks, I don't think, if they can time it out. Now, to answer your question, I think where he would go that would really make the most sense, a lot of people are probably not going to like this, but I think it'd be smart for them to do it. I think Seattle should take a guy like Will Levis because he can sit behind Geno, learn the system. That receiving core that they've got there is you've got DK Metcalf, who's top in the league at least running a 9 route. Let Will Levis chuck the ball deep to that kid. Like, he can step into anywhere, I think, and find success if he sits a year. I think that is how I feel about all quarterbacks, though.
Oh yeah,
not just him. Not, like, everyone, even in this league, everyone that's come out before. Like, if you look back, like I said, me and Josh talked earlier. All the best ones are guys that sat. Mahomes sat. Now he's one of the best in the league, dude. Yeah, there are some that didn't. Rodgers fucking sat. Guys sit and they become great all-time quarterbacks. You know, there are some that started right away that struggled and they did find a niche and they did become great. But I think sitting is important. I really
do. Especially like Josh Allen's now like a perennial all-pro MVP candidate every year. But he sucked his rookie year. Like, dude, there was talks that this motherfucker won't even be a starting quarterback in the future. But then he, you know, a lot of offseason training, worked hard, and now he's one of the best. But, you know, I mean, say what you will. But again, Aaron Rodgers, he sat, became great. Phillip Rivers, he sat, became great. Steve Young, he sat, became great. Like, not every, I mean, you know, there are exceptions to the rule. Andrew Luck came in, was great right off the bat.
Yeah, but look at like Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was supposed to come in and be great right off the bat, and he fucking sucked his rookie year too.
Yeah,
and last year was better, but it's just like not going to be a thing to be the first year starter. I mean, you could do it, but it's not common, so might as well let him sit.
Well, especially like some guys just get their confidence gets rocked and they don't recover from it. Like Zach, we were talking Wilson. About it. Yeah. Zach Wilson comes out shitty, and now he's probably never going to recover. Josh Rosen was one of the quote-unquote most pro-ready quarterbacks in recent years, and look what happened to him.
Yep.
He's been on like 8 teams, and he was only drafted like 4-5 years ago, you know? And
it's crazy.
You know, and he was, because he was like the number one high school prospect, he was the number one college quarterback, and then look what happened to him. And then RG3. Superstar in college, Heisman Trophy winner, just stud, came into the NFL. Now, granted, a lot of it also could have been injury as well. But, you know, he was rookie of the year, got hurt on a bad team, and now he's not even in the league. And where he's still at an age where he could at very least be a backup quarterback in the NFL, but he's not even in the league anymore. Because some guys, like, they just get fucking rocked and they just don't recover from it. Cause now you're just, you're playing scared. Like Zach Wilson, he just, you know, that first couple weeks of the season, his rookie year, he looked okay. Especially was it like week one, he threw like four touchdowns or two. He looked good. Like I think it was his first game of the year. He looked pretty good. Teams get a little bit of film on him and now he's not that good. And he hasn't seemed to recover from that. So, and Zach Wilson, you know, he's on his way to be out of the, not maybe not out of the league, but he's going to be a backup quarterback.
Yep.
Right.
Especially, dude, you like, could you, I mean, I feel kind of bad for Zach Wilson too. Cause could you imagine this whole offseason where they're, his teammates are begging Aaron Rodgers to come to the fucking Jets. Like, so now you're like, that's got it. I mean, you know, like I said, not that I'm a Zach Wilson fan, but it's like, that kind of sucks, man. Like he's just chilling at home, working out, enjoying his vacation. He's seeing posts of like Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner and fucking all these people like, hey, Aaron, come to New York. And it's like, oh, cool. Thanks guys. I appreciate the confidence, you know,
fuck me then I guess. And just goes back to in his hole.
Tom Brady, he sat, and now he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Yeah, you know, so it just helps to have guys sit and develop. So, Fish, do you got anything on Will Levis?
No, man, I agree with all those things that you guys said here. It's just going to be he's going to have to go somewhere that tones down his decision making on he throws a lot of picks.
That there's a caveat to that. A little bit of one, I believe, and that's he throws a lot of good passes that get tipped up in the air. His receivers have caused a lot of interceptions, and I know that doesn't matter, but at the same time, it does when it's an optics feel. That's just sort of what it is for me.
No, I get you. 25, I mean, in college, that's even when you have receivers tipping the ball, that's a lot.
And not necessarily a ton of touchdown passes, only 46 touchdowns to 25 interceptions in 38 games as a starting quarterback. Like, I get it. There are things. I think in the right system, though, he's got the highest upside.
Like, he didn't play at, like, a super good college.
Right. He started at Penn State and then went to Kentucky.
I mean, at least it's still a D1 school. I mean, it's a weaker conference, but it's still D1.
Right.
All
right. Rome, your number two quarterback, which he very well could end up the number one quarterback taken. There's been rumors about it. Bryce Young, quarterback out of, where the fuck did he go? Is he the Alabama guy? Yeah.
Yep.
Alabama. You know what? My concern with Bryce Young is he is kind of a little guy.
Kind of.
They bill him at like 210 pounds, but it's like, dude, he's like a buck 80.
He came in super heavy to the combine. He came in at 5'10", 204, which is okay. It's really short, and it's 204 is bigger than
he's smaller than I was expecting. He's smaller than Kyler Murray.
Correct. Kyler Murray almost dwarfs him, which is wild.
And at least Kyler Murray's got them thick tree trunk legs and butt.
Yeah.
Like my issue with Bryce Young is he's just kind of like a little scraggly guy. And
correct.
To me, that's shocking because if he's going to be rumors swirl that he's going to be a top five draft pick, probably, dude, you're going to invest that much draft capital in a guy that's like Devonta Smith size. And at least Devonta Smith is like 6 foot or 6'1". So like this guy, you know, he's under 200 pounds. They keep saying he's not 200 pounds, guys. Like he might have gone to the combine heavy, like you just said, Rome. That motherfucker, he's like 180. Like he is a little guy.
Here's the reason I'm going to tell you he is going to be a top pick, and it's the one thing that sold me on him. Because again, I'm not a big fan of short quarterbacks, especially this short. What he is and what he does, there's a lot of GMs that have come out. I've watched a lot of draft process with this kid. He is one of the smartest kids coming out and the hardest workers, meaning very simply this, he likes to watch film. There's not a lot. Look, let's just say this. If he had any of Kyler Murray in him at all, just wanting to play video games and not fucking watch film, he wouldn't be where he's at. But this kid would break down film after the games on Saturday, come in with a packet to give his coaches at Alabama. You want to talk about a way to win Nick Saban's heart. That's probably how you do it first and foremost, but he's willing to put the work in at stuff that's going to make him a good pro quarterback. And he was doing that in college. Yeah. That's something that I see when I'm listening to these guys that are saying this thing. These are GMs. They're doing their homework on this kid. I think he's going to be good just simply because that's one of the hardest things to do is to sit and watch film, to dedicate yourself to that. And the other part of it that I like his game is, and it is a little bit too, the fact that he's little, he can get lost in the pocket. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Russell Wilson in the pocket, where he sort of Houdini's his way out of shit and can find an open receiver down the field. And when you watch film the way he does, you know, I think he's going to struggle hard early because I think Houston's probably going to take him at two and he's going to have to step in and be the fucking dude. It's going to be rough. But I think the longer he does it, the greater his career is going to be, as long as he doesn't get hurt because he is so little.
I do like that career stat line for him, though, in college.
Yeah, yeah.
Four less games than Will Levis, and Alabama's playing much stiffer competition than Kentucky was.
Correct.
But 8,000 yards, 75 touchdowns to 12 picks, like that, beautiful. That's what you want to see out of your – because – okay, so there's, you know, 500,000 kids play high school football, and then, you know, 100,000 kids play college football. So now you're getting into a much higher percentage of talent around you. Then the NFL is, there's only 1,000 players in the NFL. So, but to go from high school where everybody can play, now you're going to college, to have that touchdown to interception ratio and a 65% pass completion percentage for career, like that. That's what I like to see out of a quarterback. He's just little. That's just my concern. He's little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, like, I'll add this, basically the same things. He's little. I think the thing with him for fantasy, I don't think he's going to be relevant this year. Maybe towards the end of the year he might turn it on a little bit more. But it's just a longevity thing at this point. Like, is he going to play till he's 40, like most quarter, like, or 35, like a lot of quarterbacks, or is he not going to, he's only going to last probably until he's like 30. Like a lot of these running quarterbacks and small quarterbacks do, they don't last long enough. So it's like, is it worth it? Yeah. Depending upon your position, but you only have a smaller window. That's for sure.
It's just tough though, too. Cause I agree with you, Rome. He's probably going to get taken like two by the Texans. Yeah. And that's a bad team. Like they don't have a particularly good O-line. They just got rid of Brandon Cooks. So your number one receiver is
probably whoever they take at 12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's like, so you're not going. Well,
here's the problem.
Situation.
Here's the problem is, where are they good? The running back, does that help for the quarterback? Not really. I mean, it helps him in real life where he's just not getting sacked, but for fantasy, like, they're going to run the ball probably 25 times a game.
But even then, but is Damian probably Pierce going to be healthy coming into the year?
Probably not. Like, but they still have to run the ball. They don't have anybody to throw it to.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, because now you're not going to a good situation. There's a reason why you draft at, you know, two. So. So we'll see. I mean, I think Bryce Young is more talented than any of the quarterbacks that came in last year. You know, so he just, like I said, it's just the size concerns me, because Cam Newton fell apart and he was built like a linebacker. You know, Jalen Hurts just got paid all that money, but he's 220. You know, he's a thick boy. He's a big guy. You know, it's just, that's just my concern, is just Bryce Young's just kind of a small guy.
Yeah.
So, all right, moving on. This is your number three quarterback. And in my opinion, if he never got hurt in college, I think he'd be arguably the 101 this year, is Hendon Hooker, quarterback from Tennessee. Dude, he was so good. I think he has the potential to be a superstar quarterback, but now he's, I mean, I haven't heard rumors of where he's going to get drafted. My guess is probably a day two.
It's supposed to be like second round pick. I'll tell you what, he's my favorite quarterback here. I don't think he's going to produce the best here out of all of them, but he's my favorite. Thing I can say is that he probably will get put into a pretty good landing spot picking to where he will back up the quarterback. No one's drafting Hendon Hooker to be a starter in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this guy's got 80 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. The only person with a higher passer completion percentage than him is CJ Stroud. He did have the injury, but like the guy's got a good college stat line already. He's big. He's, you know, nobody's worried about his hands being too little. Like, he's got pretty much all the tangibles.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely does. The big thing for me, and I think to touch on what you guys were saying and why I have him rated so high, is he played a lot. He started a lot of games. I mean, he started 45 games in college. He still has a solid completion percentage in 40. He threw 944 fucking passes.
Yeah,
there's only a couple guys that have thrown more passes 66%. Than him. If he finds the right system, if he can get in a spread style system, I think he could be fucking dynamic like he was at Tennessee, man. Tennessee took the fucking college football world by storm last year. They were unranked and then came in and fucking dominated.
Yeah, I was going to mention the spread system, though, because not a lot of NFL teams are currently doing it. So it would take a whole change of philosophy. Because like, who does it right now? Arizona? Miami?
Yeah. Atlanta?
Yeah, but Atlanta doesn't have anybody to go. Like, they are.
No, I know.
They're going to need some more there. Like, the teams that can do it now have quarterbacks.
You know what I would do if I were a franchise? I would, if I was the Eagles, I would draft Hooker. Hear me out. Because you let Hurts finish out that 5-year deal, and then you can just plug and put in Hooker because he'll essentially do what Jalen Hurts can.
And you can sign him at the end of 5 years for cheap because you won't know what he's done yet.
Yep.
Yeah, that's 5 years of sitting there, though. I mean, kind of wasting draft capital at that point.
But the inevitable injury to Jalen Hurts, not that I wish injury on anybody, but, you know, a borderline running quarterback is eventually going to get banged up. And, I mean, I think Hooker on the Eagles would be great. I mean, it probably won't happen.
To that note, Arizona could do the same thing, right? And even Miami could be like, hey, we don't trust Tua's health right now.
Yeah,
right.
Like, we need to have a backup plan in place. So,
and that's right. Now, how healthy is Hooker coming into the draft?
He'll be fine.
He's so good. And that's the thing. I honestly think if he didn't have an injury in college, he'd probably be like the discussion Panthers with the 101 would be Hendon Hooker.
I agree.
He's so good. And he's a big guy. He's 6'4". He's like 220. You know, that, and that's kind of that's like the 6'4", 220 seems to be like the prototype build for what you want your quarterback to be. And like you just said, though, he had a lot of college experience, which is great because CJ Stroud, who we're going to talk about next, who was potentially the number one overall pick, he only played 26 games. So to get that extra playing time to develop your skills, I think is so important because he essentially played a whole extra season of football games than Stroud did. And then yeah. What's nice, you look at his career numbers, you know, threw for almost 9,000 yards. Like, Fish, you talked about the 80 to 12 touchdown to interception ratio. Like, that's massive. 66 completion percentage. Like, goddamn, man. Like, sign me up. I love it.
Yeah. For me, it's, I don't know. I'm going to move on to the next guy because I'm going to catch heat for this, I'm pretty sure. I've got CJ Stroud at 4. And I know everybody loves CJ. And the reason I want to jump right into him is to caveat it a little bit because his numbers and his stat line are fucking phenomenal.
Oh, stupid. He put up video game numbers.
Like, he's at 81 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. He fucking is at a 69.3% completion. And it's like, okay, that's all great. But the caveat to it is it was only 26 games. He didn't do it for the longevity that Hooker did it for. Like, Hooker playing 45 games to his 26, I think it's a big difference. I don't know if Stroud can continue that type of dominance. And the other big thing that really bugs me when it comes to CJ Stroud, you can say whatever you want. I don't like Ohio State quarterbacks. I don't think I've seen a good one come out. And don't you fucking say Fields, because we don't know yet. He runs around real good, but would you say he's good? Are you going to go pay him $200 million to go win you games? I don't think so yet. Maybe. Maybe. But I don't think CJ Stroud is quite the answer that everybody thinks he's going to be. I hope he proves me wrong. Like I said, he's still in my top fucking four quarterbacks. But I just don't think he's – I think he doesn't quite have the upside that the other three that I have ahead of him do.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to throw something out there on CJ Stroud. Anybody who's completing 69% of their passes and throwing 81 touchdowns and 12 interceptions is doing a good job. Where I do agree with you is the, is this a product of Ohio State? And it's not saying that Ohio State quarterbacks are necessarily bad. It's just that Ohio State has always has some of the best receivers in college.
Wide receiver university.
Yeah. They're going to artificially inflate, so to speak, the numbers of the quarterback. Because you don't need to be that good of a quarterback to throw to basically three NFL receivers while they're in college, because that's usually what it is. Usually all three of them go to the pros and do just damn fine. And it's going to inflate. I think the same thing happens in Alabama sometimes, where your quarterback numbers, like, yeah, there's good quarterbacks that come from there, but their numbers in college get a little inflated based off what's around them. If you have an offense around you, like, that's where Will Levis is gets me, is like, even though the receivers this year were good and stuff, like, that's more, it's not like traditionally you don't see that there's this discrepancy being caused by the focus on the other position at the college.
Right.
Yeah.
The other big thing that I gotta talk about, cause it bugged me a little bit, is if you're the quarterback and at your pro day, you aren't the stud, that sort of raises a red flag for me. The guys that everybody was talking about, or the guy that everybody was talking about, was fucking Marvin Harrison Jr.
I can't wait for him.
It wasn't CJ Stroud, and it wasn't even fucking, it wasn't even Najigba. It wasn't those two guys. It was the underclassmen that took the show.
Next year, Marvin Harrison Jr. He's going to be the rookie 101 next year. He's so fucking good.
I think that's without question, but that's one of the things for me where it's like, man, CJ Stroud is good, but he couldn't even on his own team. He's not the best guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I do like the numbers that Stroud, like I said, Stroud put up straight up video game numbers.
Certainly.
The only thing is he's going to a Carolina Panthers team that's kind of in a rebuild, that they're not going to be very good. You know, you brought in, I know you love him, but you brought in old Adam Thielen. You got rid of DJ Moore, you know, so it's you got rid of Deonta Foreman, who was a good running back for them. So your team is now, it's going to be tough. And this circles back to my concern of, like, you go out there, your team sucks, you suck, everyone boos you, and now, like, your mental game now gets thrown, like, you know, and that's my concern for Stroud. I hope Stroud does well. I think he's a very talented player. I'm just very concerned about his landing spot, because, like I said, he's more than likely going to go to Carolina, because he only did two visits, which was Houston and Carolina. I think those were the only two he did, because I think he knows he's going to be one or two.
But he's going to be the next guy to go fucking – he'll go in the second round. Everybody will be like, oh, my God, what happened here?
Mm-hmm.
There's always some guy that every year.
Actually, you know what? We should add,
sitting in the green room, just fucking.
Because we like when Brady Quinn kept sliding in the draft and just saw his angry face.
Yeah, Rodgers too. Same thing.
And actually, you know, we should circle back. And now that we're not that deep into quarterback, we should talk about their. I mean, obviously, it's all pending landing spot. But what is your interest in him? So Will Levis, to me, not interested in redraft. I'm interested in dynasty. That's terrible, because you can actually say about everybody. It's not redraft, but big in dynasty. Oh, okay, actually, here, let's do this. Rookie draft. So Will Levis, I think he is an end of the first round, second round, dynasty, rookie draft. Your number two quarterback was Bryce Young.
he's probably going to be a first round pick because he's going to be a first round pick in real life NFL. Hendon Hooker, you could probably get him in third round, fourth round of a rookie draft. And I definitely, you know, and I'd be fine with that. So, and then, CJ Stroud, because he's going to be the top pick, he's going to be a first round pick in a rookie draft.
Yeah. So. And then I'll go ahead and I'll move on to the next guy because it caveats on what you're saying here. Because I think the number one quarterback that should probably be taken in a fantasy football setting might be Anthony Richardson. Mm. I don't like Anthony Richardson. Obviously he's at five. I'm not a huge fan. I mean, he's a fucking crazy athlete. He's probably one of the most athletic quarterbacks to ever come out of the draft. And that's super great. Running is a huge upside for fantasy purposes when it comes to the quarterback position. You got a guy that fucking, let me get these numbers up on him here. You got a guy that ran a 4.43, verted a 40, has a 1.5 10-yard split. Like, he's quick. He's big. He's going to be fucking good when it comes to running the ball around. Like, if he can go to a team like Baltimore that says, we'll take him instead of Lamar, cool. That works. You can build an offense around a guy like Richardson. Is he going to go out there and win you football games throwing the ball at 54.7% completion? No, probably not, which is why I've got him so low. But I think for fantasy purposes, I think Richardson has the running upside. We're talking about a guy that played in 22 games. He has over 1,000 yards rushing and 12 touchdowns rushing. He's going to be decent when it comes to fantasy. I'd be interested in him probably higher than Hooker, Stroud. It might be weird with Young because I think he's going to get playing time right away, but I definitely like Richardson, man. When it comes to fantasy, everything else, not so much.
Anthony Richardson's probably going to get drafted in the first. He's going to be a top 10 pick probably. Rumor has it the Colts might take him at 4. Although, dude, the other day, Jim Irsay tweeted some weird shit on Twitter where he's like, so there's stuff we can do with our draft pick. He's like, we can either take a quarterback or trade back and take a quarterback or not. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, are you fine with Sam Ellinger all year? You know?
Yeah, because then they get the number one pick next year. They're totally fine with that.
They should just tank and wait for Caleb Williams next year.
Gross. I'm not a Caleb guy.
I don't know if they can tank worse than fucking Houston is gonna. So
yeah, it's gonna be a tank off.
Remember a couple years back? It was suck for Andrew Luck.
Suck for Luck. Tank for Tua.
Tank for Tua. But then Burrow went.
Yeah.
You know how different would the world be had Tua not gotten hurt and Cincinnati Bengals took Tua 1 overall instead of Joe Burrow. Because then the Chargers probably then take Joe Burrow, not Justin Herbert, and Justin Herbert probably goes to Miami.
I think all three teams would be like almost in the same spot they are right now.
That's true. They'd probably be about the same.
They all be good, but not good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think Cincinnati would be nearly as good
with Tua.
Yeah.
Well, if Tua, you got to think. If Tua didn't get hurt, so if Tua was healthy, Tua's just fine.
Tua was good in college.
They got fucking 6 receivers in Cincinnati he could throw to. They'd be all right.
They probably wouldn't have been bad enough, though, to get Ja'Marr Chase.
It's true.
Actually, who knows? Because they sucked with Joe Burrow, and that's how they got Ja'Marr Chase.
Well, Joe Burrow also got hurt that year.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Tore his knee there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fuck, I forgot. Oh, it's funny how so much football happens, and you kind of forget things that happened.
For real.
But yeah, Anthony Richardson, he's going to end up on a bad team. He might have the most fantasy relevance purely because of his athletic
rushing
freak ability. He's kind of like, to me, he reminds me a lot of Cam Newton. He's probably going to be a first-round pick in rookie drafts because, again, he's going to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft, which I think is kind of gross. But if you're, especially in Superflex, fuck it, you could do worse. You can be like my fucking Superflex team and you have 6 quarterbacks and none of them are good.
None of them are good, yeah. If he, let's just say this, if Richardson gets drafted to a team that he has to start in, he's probably going to be a top three pick in a, especially in a
super flex.
Yeah. Fuck yes.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on. Jaren Hall. Mm-hmm. The beautiful chocolate man out of BYU. He's kind of little, though.
He's kind of a little, little guy. He's little. He's got more Russell Wilson in him than I think even Bryce Young. He has a fire that he plays with that I really kind of like. I can dig it. 52 touchdowns to 11 interceptions and 800 rushing yards for 9 touchdowns. He only played in about 29, so 30 games. Like, there's something about this kid when you watch his highlight tape that jumps off the it jumps off the film at you. Like, he lacks size, but he's got, like I said, I put here in the notes, he lacks size. What he lacks in size, he makes up for in moxie. Like, he just plays the quarterback position very well.
The problem is, though, he probably won't get drafted in rookie drafts because he's going to get drafted.
Oh, no.
If he does get drafted, it's going to be super late. And it'll be to a team like, I don't know, Green Bay. Or some team that doesn't really need a quarterback.
Right.
Like the Chiefs. Like the Chiefs take him, you know? So it's like, it's one of those things where it makes sense in real life football, but there's going to be no fantasy relevance to him. At least for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely.
Because actually on your list now, like, you know, some of these guys, I don't think any of these guys get drafted. Or if they do, like I said, they're going to be round 5 or later.
I'm drafting one of them. Just one.
Say it, Fish. You say it. I know it.
Jake Haener. This guy will die on the football field. He wants to be better than everybody. Whether he is or isn't, it doesn't matter. He's one of those players that he goes out there and he fucking gets it done. You know, like, he completed 68% of his passes, which is pretty damn good. I think it's the second highest on this list. And he would be a player that he would have to sit behind somebody for 2-3 years before he would be able to do it. But if he goes to the right spot, which he certainly can, being like the capital that he's worth, he'll probably go in like the 3rd, 4th round of the draft. The dude gets it done. Go watch his highlight film. He makes throws in the tight pockets. He's got an arm, and he'll play through anything. I watched this dude
tough
at like 12 at night one night, Fresno State playing who the fuck knows, and he won the game for him by himself. And he was already had a broken rib and a bad leg, and this dude just
It. Rumor has it he actually had a visit with the Detroit Lions. Which actually could be a very good landing spot for him. Because Jared Goff will still be the starting quarterback for at least minimum 2 more years.
I don't know what team I was thinking. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't think this team's looking for a quarterback or anything, but it would make sense.
The Saints?
Start to rebuild early. No, that'd be a good idea. I mean, they got Derek Carr, Fresno State, you know? no, the Rams. The Rams are going to need something after Matt Stafford. Spot. Yeah. And they got a good coach who could build up another quarterback. Whether he coaches for a long time, we'll see. But I don't know. It just made sense to me.
But there's this rumor that he did have a visit with Detroit, which, like I said, that could be a good landing spot for him because you got young receiver core in the Sun God and Jameson, which I'm so excited. I hope Jameson Williams is healthy this year because, dude, that kid. You know, it's funny. Like, I've been trying to get him in Dynasty, but he's so fucking expensive. And I'm trying to get him because I just think, dude, Jameson's a fucking monster, man. Like, he's so fucking good at football. But anyways, because he'll sit for a couple years behind Goff because I don't know how many years Goff has left on his deal. But, you know, you assume he's young. He is good enough. So Detroit will probably keep using him till the wheels fall off. And then, you know, Haener, he could sit there for a couple years, develop them skills. Mm-hmm.
The other place I was thinking, and Rome mentioned this earlier, so I think Rome is probably more right that I don't think that they'll wait this long, but Seattle. I mean, I'm a full believer in Pete Carroll now. Pete Carroll did great with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson left. Dog shit. He's got Sean Payton now, so we'll see what he is. And then Pete Carroll turned around and took Geno Smith off the street and was like, hey, Geno Smith, you want to be comeback player of the year? Come on up to Seattle. We'll get you fixed up.
I hear you on that one. I can dig it. I can dig it. The other two guys here that are my last two, because I only did 10, we don't need to talk a whole bunch on them. The kid Stetson Bennett from Georgia. Look, he's a great story. Okay. The reality of it, he's going to be a wide receiver on the Patriots.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Like, he's built happening. Just like Julian Edelman.
It's 100% happening. He played a lot. He was a walk-on at Georgia. Like I said, it's just a beautiful story. But again, he's not a quarterback. He's going to fucking be a wide receiver for the New England Patriots, and I'm calling it now. The other kid that might find a place is the kid Max Duggan from TCU.
I actually want to talk about
a guy that played. He played a lot of fucking football, man. He played 47 games. I think he played in every single game he could possibly play in at the fucking college level, just about. And he played in big games. I mean, you're talking about a kid at TCU that they're in the playoffs. Like they're making shit happen. They're making things. I don't know. They're changing things. It also helps that he's played with at least a great wide receiver this last couple of years in Quentin Johnston.
But I love that
he
kid.
I do too. He does a lot of stuff. I mean, this quarterback sneakily threw for almost 10,000 yards. Okay, 9,600 yards, 73 touchdowns, 28 interceptions, and he ran for almost 2,000 and 28 fucking touchdowns. The kid plays a shitload of football. I think he could find – he's going to land somewhere. He's also kind of a smaller kid, unfortunately, but he ran a 4.52. I mean, I think somebody's going to snag him and say, let's give him a run, give him a try. At the very least as a backup.
You know, it's funny, as you mentioned that, remember when we were talking earlier, I was saying that Anthony Richardson's going to be Terrell Pryor. He's going to eventually become a wide receiver in the NFL.
Right. It's exactly right.
Cool. Shoot, the other quarterback you have on this list we haven't talked about, probably going to be a tight end.
Talking about Tanner?
Tanner yeah. McKee.
Good, I mean, he's 6'6". Just fucking put him out there and throw the ball to him.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think Anthony Richardson's going to end up, because he's like a meh quarterback, in my opinion. He wasn't that good at Florida. He's just freakishly athletic. And then he's big. He's like, was it Anthony Richardson's like 6'4", 240? But he ran like a 3.9. He was like the fastest man on the planet. So I really think he ends up a wide receiver or a tight end, because they're just going to be like, dude, you're so fucking big.
He just needs to gain some weight and be the next Derrick Henry.
Delicious.
He's already fast as fuck.
Although yeah. Tanner McKee is a tight end, actually, I could see that happening. Travis Kelce was a quarterback. Then he became the greatest tight end to ever play. So you never know. Tanner McKee
He was a quarterback in high school. Tanner McKee he's not athletic enough. Watch his highlight tape. It's fucking atrocious. Yeah, he'd have to stand. He'd have to be a 1 yard line. Yeah, like go 1 yard line, run a fade, and he might get to the back of the end zone.
Watch. We talk all this shit now, but then he gets drafted and sits for like 6 years, and then he becomes like the best quarterback because he's 6'6".
A superstar
with a big fuck. He does have a big arm, you know. So
he does. He certainly does.
But look at that. We're about an hour. Actually, real quick, we've got a little bit of time. I got a couple questions for you guys from the listeners. Because now that we're back, people ask questions. Number one, what do you do with Melvin Gordon?
Probably cut him.
Yeah. What the fuck?
That was my thought. I was like, why is he still on your roster?
Yeah. I was
like, he was a healthy scratch as soon as he went to Kansas City. That answers your question right there.
Yeah. And if you keep him and you wanted to move him, the best thing you would get is a last round, very late pick. And it's like, you're better off getting the rookie and seeing what they do.
But even that's
you could
the thing,
pick Melvin Gordon off like the waivers. He'll be there.
Even if you're in like a dynasty startup and you're at like round 18, I'm still like, nah, I'll take a dart throw on some wide receiver. You know, or
I'd rather take Jake Haener.
Yeah, there you go.
And then another question, last question I got for you guys tonight. In a dynasty league, what would you rather have? Christian McCaffrey or David Montgomery and 2 24 first round picks? I say give me Monty and the picks.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to be different. I'm going to fucking say give me McCaffrey. I think McCaffrey and the Niners is just sex in a bottle, baby. Let's fucking go.
I agree with you. I just feel like the value of the 2 first-round picks with David Montgomery to hold you over if those picks need some time to develop. Like McCaffrey, I guess that's the question, right? Are you going to win this year? Because if you're not going to win this year or next year, then go take David Montgomery in the picks. And because I don't think you could really predict if you're going to win, like you could say that you're going to be a good contender. But basically, if you feel like you're going to be a top contender, keep McCaffrey. If you don't, go take Montgomery in the picks.
And you'll I honestly just fine. Feel if you're even if you're in contention, I still think I would take Monty in the picks just because McCaffrey, he's arguably the running back one still, and he's on a better offense with San Francisco than he was with Carolina, and he was a superstar in San Fran. I just don't know if you'll be able to get that kind of value next year
after
on a trade with McCaffrey. I mean, I did retweet that picture of him shirtless in this. Oh God, he looked beautiful. He's a beautiful chocolate man.
So many abs.
Yeah, beautiful white chocolate man.
I didn't even know you could have that many abs.
That's I was like, get like 10.
I thought you got a 6-pack. You're doing good. This guy's got, I don't know, 16 going
he's
on.
Got, yeah, he's and, got arms. He's got arm abs. It's fucking wild.
To quote Seth Rogen, his arms look like 2 veiny dicks. Like he looks great, and yeah, goddamn, good for him. Good for his fucking wife. She gets to have sex with that.
You good for me? Everybody who even gets to look at him in a tight t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For real.
But like, I just don't know because arguably David Montgomery's worth a first round pick in Dynasty. So you're kind of, or maybe a second, but still you're basically looking at 2 firsts and a second for McCaffrey. And Montgomery's still young. He hasn't had that very many injury issues. DeAndre Swift can't stay healthy, so he very well could end up.
I guess a big piece too. I like questions like this because they spark conversation, but I hate it because like, what 2 first-round picks? Are you gonna get Bijan? Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Are you gonna get the 11th and 12th? Because
yeah, that's true.
That's
I guess
not quite
it's
as
all...
good. Like, there's you know sometimes in Dynasty rookie drafts, there's really only like 4 or 5 players that you know for sure are gonna be a thing.
It's a
and
gamble.
After that, it's kind of a crapshoot.
Because
Even then, it's a gamble. Well, think about it. Right. How many rookies have come out so even look at it in a redraft. How many rookies come out and you go, oh, that guy's going to be a fucking dude?
Like 2
I
of
can
them.
Maybe Barkley is one that I can remember. Zeke was one I can remember. Even a guy like Fournette, who was a top pick, was still a second rounder. Mm-hmm. Like you're not talking about a guy who's a sure thing, but. It just doesn't happen very often.
Well, plus
so.
like rookie drafts are so tough too. Cause remember in one of our dynasty leagues, Rome, I was so mad at you because you took Isaiah Spiller at like 1-8.
Uh huh.
And I was at like 1-10 or 1-11. And I was like, this motherfucker took Isaiah Spiller. Cause I was so big on Spiller and there's a chance he's never going to pan out. I mean,
or
granted
he starts this year.
Yeah. When Eckler
are you
doesn't.
Interested?
If he starts?
No, are you interested right now, as is?
It depends on what you want for him.
I want everything.
I'll give you Justin Herbert for Isaiah Spiller straight up. No questions asked.
Done and done.
But so, you know, like I said, it's hard to see the value that you can get. But it's just, I don't know. I think I'd just be tempted in the picks just because, again, if McCaffrey, you know, he's had some injury, especially over the last couple of years. He's been hurt, I think, every season for the last, like, 3 or 4 seasons. He's missed a lot of time. So I just don't know how much value you can get in return for him. Right. And plus, I don't know what – see, that's the problem, too. Sometimes, like, you know,
the thing, too, is a lot of people talk about the value in return, right? But they forget about the value in keeping. Like, the value in keeping is you win.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe not win the league, but depending upon your roster construction, but the you got to look at it like I'm trying to win or I'm not, because that's how you establish your value. Because the value, there is a value in keeping. If your team needs Christian McCaffrey to be healthy and play all year, which he could, we don't know. Nobody, you don't know about any player.
That's true.
Then it's worth it to keep him. But if you're not trying to win, or if you're like kind of some middle of the road, like, oh, I might squeeze into the playoffs and get lucky, then like, yeah, ditch him now. Or if you're like, he's your only good player, then certainly
or this grab your is what haul. You do. You make the trade, get the picks, get Monty. Then you flip those two picks for Ken Walker. And now you have Ken Walker and David Montgomery.
Yeah.
That's not too, certainly. I mean, you know, that could be good. Or Brees Hall, turn it into Brees Hall.
All right, all these toxic trades. I'm ready. I'm going to hit up Sleeper.
I think this is a good place to wrap it up. We're going to, we ended on running backs. We're going to be talking running backs next episode. I mean, spoiler alert, Bijan Robinson's good at football. You know what's funny? Actually, you know what? It's not really so much a question for the show, but it was just a question I saw on Twitter. It was funny. It was like, are you nervous to draft Bijan Robinson in fantasy? And I'm like, the fuck question is that? Who the fuck? Like, I don't care where he ends up. I will draft him. Name a team. I wouldn't care. But yeah, that's fine. He is so fucking good. And he's going, assuming he's you know, please stay healthy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be good in the NFL.
Yeah.
I agree.
He made everybody look silly in college.
He sure did.
So, cool. Well, thank you for listening, guys. We appreciate it. We love you. And again, tell your friends we're back and we're getting better and stronger and girthier and more meaty. I'm going to eat tacos here in a minute. But again, thank you for listening. Pizza. I love pizza. Get us on the socials at Filthy F-Ball Show is the show Twitter. Big Rome is at Big Rome FFF. And F Football Fish is Fish's Twitter. Instagram, Filthy Fantasy Football Show. Send in your emails to filthyfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. And again, thank you so much for everything. I love you. King Josh the King.
Big Rome.
Fantasy Fish.
Have a good one, y'all.